Father, we're grateful again for this day you've given us. Thank you now for the word of God that we have, Lord, to share together, that brings us together, because through the word of God, we know Christ as our personal Savior. May the Holy Spirit now be our teacher as we go through this lesson today, Lord, on disciples and how to follow Jesus. Father, I pray, Lord, you'd encourage our faith. Lord, we're living in perilous times, trying times, Lord, especially for the children of God. But Lord, we know that greater is He that's in us and He that's in the world. So Father, help us, Lord, and give us the faith we need, Lord, to continue, Lord, every opportunity we have to tell somebody about Jesus. Bless your people here today. Thank you for those that have been sick, they're back. Those that are here, Lord, even maybe are not feeling good, I pray, Lord, they feel better. We know, Lord, our people and our families and loved ones, Lord, that may be sick or going through trying times too. We lift them up. We ask you, dear God, to have your will and way in all that we do today. In Jesus' name, amen. One thing before I forget it again, our charathon is this week, starting tomorrow morning at 7:30. Be much in prayer for that. And I want to ask you something to do, if you don't mind. If you don't, that's fine. During our charathon, we love to get phone calls. They're exciting to us when we get phone calls. So if you would commit maybe one day, just one time to call in during our charathon, it will be a blessing to people that are at the mics. And so I'm just asking you to think about it and pray about it, okay? We do have corn holders up here. If you'd like to get some to fill up, help with our charathon, also you can do that. So be much in prayer for charathon starting tomorrow morning, Lord willing, at 7:30. Okay, this morning we continue our study with a disciple. Follow the Lord. A disciple demonstrates a servant's heart. A true disciple demonstrates a servant's heart. We talked about a servant last week. We're going to continue to do that today. As we look at this, we see that Bible emphasizes serving others, does it not? What a blessing it is to be able to serve somebody, to serve one another in the Lord's work. We talked about the great example last week of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. How we see he demonstrated his love to them, a servant, in that he came to die for our sins. He was a servant. He came to die for our sins. We also see, in doing this, we see that he did this so he might demonstrate his love towards his disciples, because his hour was coming. He was fixing to die in just a little while. We also see that he did it that he might demonstrate his own voluntary humility before his disciples, humbling himself before them, even as a man, being willing to do that and to wash their feet. We also see that he did this in a time when his hour was come. His hour was come. He did this knowing that his hour was coming and that he was going to depart soon and go back and be with his Father after he died. So we see this is, again, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, a good demonstration, illustration, example, if you please, for you and I. There are many examples in the Bible of being servants, but I think the greatest one is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, because he was truly a servant, and he came to serve us. His love is matchless. You can't match his love. It's demonstrated in so many ways in the fact that he served people while he was here. He served people while he was here. He taught the disciples also to be servants. He taught them. Turn to 1 John chapter 3, first of all. One verse here. 1 John 3:16. You know John 3:16. But look at 1 John 3:16. We're talking about servants. Talking about giving our lives, helping somebody else in our lives. 1 John 3:16, the Bible says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God." Look at the love of God. He says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God." He says, "Because he laid down his life for who? Us. He laid down his life for you. He laid down his life for me." Aren't you glad? I'm glad he gave his life for me. I'm glad he gave his life for you. "Hereby perceive that we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us." And what? We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We ought to lay down our lives for other people too. Because Jesus is that example. He was a servant. He was willing to give his life for you and for me. Likewise, we should be willing to give our lives for one another, during this time. Now, we see here, as we look at a servant, what is a servant? We see one of the greatest, one of the greatest weaknesses in Christianity, I feel like, is servants. Servants. We're always needing people to do something for the Lord. Always needing people to do something for the Lord. And sometimes it's very hard for some people to commit to do that. The servants are few, while the need and the opportunities are great. The need and the opportunities are great, but yet the servants are so few today. The fields are white to harvest, but the laborers are few. If you don't believe the fields are white to harvest, go out and knock on a door, and you'll find out there's a lot of people out there that don't know Christ as Savior. In fact, most people don't. They really don't. The fields are great and white to harvest. We see last week that Paul introduced himself to the church at Rome as a servant. Even though he was an apostle, he first of all introduced himself as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, what a privilege it is, brothers and sisters, to be able to serve the Lord. Just to do something for Him. I mean, and the most we do is nothing. It's nothing compared to what He did for us. Nothing compared to what He did for us. He laid down His life. He gave His life for me. He gave His life for you, that you and I might have eternal life and enjoy life while we're here. So we see the greatest honor that anyone could give you or me would be to call us a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. That would be an honor. To realize that somebody would call you a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may that be our goal. To serve God, we must serve others. As we serve God, we will serve others. And because we love Him. We see servants deal with people. We deal with people all the time. Aren't you glad we have people to deal with? I am. I'm glad we have people to talk to. People to associate with and try to present our faith to. As we go about our living day by day and try to be that example that what God wants us to be. So a disciple demonstrates a servant's heart. A servant's heart, first of all. We see early in history, like years ago in the Old Testament days, we see there were entire nations. They served kings and they served those people that conquered them. They were servants during that time. And so we see the person who dedicates himself to the service of another one is often called a servant. It's called a servant. Dedicate ourselves to serve in a capacity of someone else. The most common reference, though, in scriptures to service is the servant of the Lord. To serve the Lord. And what a privilege it is to do that. Turn, first of all, to Romans chapter 6. Do a lot of scripture reading this morning. Romans chapter 6, first of all, we see, we're talking about servants, being a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, serving Him, living for Jesus. May that be our desire. May that be our prayer today. We see in Romans chapter 6, verse 17 and 18, Romans 6, verse 17 and 18, the Bible says, But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin. You remember before you got saved? Do I remember before I got saved? We were the servants of what? Sin. We were the servants of sin. Now notice what it says here also in verse number 17. The Bible says, But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. And what's that doctrine? Notice it says, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of what? Righteousness. Obeying that doctrine that you heard, the gospel that you heard, how that Jesus came and died on the cross for you to forgive you of your sins. Hearing that teaching about Jesus Christ, you obeyed that. And now we are servants of righteousness rather than the servants of sin. We're servants of living right, being right. We have the opportunity with the privilege to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest thing in anybody's life is to live for Jesus. To live for Jesus. No greater life, no more rewarding life. A person who serves God in a particular function is often called a calling, is also a servant of the Lord. It can be a minister, it can be a missionary, whatever it is, whatever capacity may be, they're servants of the Lord. Most of you in here are servants of the Lord. You serve the Lord in some capacity, and that's great. And that's, we all labor together for the Lord as we are serving Him together. We see here a person whom God uses to perform His will is a servant. Do you realize God has a will for your life? He has a purpose for your life while you're here. First of all, God wanted to save you. If you're saved today, thank God you're saved. Amen? Thank God that God has redeemed you. Now He's redeemed you, He's saved you. He has a purpose for you now to live for Him. There's something that you can do. Something you can do. I don't know what it is, but God knows. And if you pray and ask God, God will show you. I promise you, God will show you what He wants you to do. Now, if He shows you, you may not, hey, I can't do that. Well, I know how that feels. But if you keep praying and asking God to show you and help you, God will give you the wisdom. God will give you the ability to do something for Him when you step out by faith. You may not do it like somebody else does it, okay? If it's teach, if it's sing, whatever. But you can still do something for God. You can still do something for God. If nothing else, you can pray. Amen? We all can pray, can't we? We all can pray. We may not like to visit. We may not like to do a lot of things that other people do, but we all can pray. And the greatest need, no doubt, in our church today is prayer warriors. People to pray for the ministers here at the church and pray for one another. So we all can do something, and that's part of serving God. Serving God. I'm so glad today that I have a desire to be here rather than out playing ball today or doing something else in the world today. I'm so glad I have a desire to be here. I don't have no desire to be out there. And some, you know, coming to Sunday school, often Sunday mornings we see people out playing ball and doing all kinds of things. And it touches my heart. Hey, you know, I wish they would come and go with me to church. Come and go to Sunday school, you know, and serve the Lord. Folks, we have a privilege to serve God. It really is. It's a blessing also to do that. So we are servant as a person who doesn't exercise his own will. Not doing what I want to do, but doing what God wants me to do is more important than what I want to do. Because God knows best for me. He knows not only today, but He knows the end of my life. And He knows what He wants me to do and how, you know, with His help I can do it, you see. He also, a servant demonstrates the importance of serving others without any assurance of reward. Don't do what you do for God to be rewarded. Do it because you love Him. When you do it because you love Him, He's going to reward you. No doubt about that, but don't do something even for somebody else because you want them to do something for you. That's the wrong motive in doing, in serving. We're to serve freely, freely, and just watch God bless you. Sometimes you do something for somebody else and you just forget about it. You'll just completely forget about it. And all of a sudden, something will pop up through somebody else and God will bless you because you do something for somebody else. See, don't do something just to be rewarded. You know, I remember when I was coming up. I'm not a parent, okay? I'm not a parent. But I know when I came up, Brother Offer, you know this too, there were certain things I did as chores around the house. Every day. Every day. And you know what? I didn't do it for 50 cents, a quarter, or a dollar. I did it because I wanted to obey my parents, and I loved them, and I respected them. You know, whenever we always rewarded for what we do, we sometimes get a high mind, you know? And it goes over in life. When you get grown, you get married, you get a job, you're going to expect people at work to do something, reward you for everything you do if you're not careful. So we need to learn to be a servant. Just do something because it's our duty. It's our responsibility to do something, you know. It's my duty to take out the trash. It's my duty to take care of the yard. You know, all this, it's my duty as a husband to do these kind of things. Therefore, I want to be a servant. I want to be a servant, you see. Do something for the Lord. Do something for your family. Be a servant, not for reward, but just because you love people, because you want to do it. It's your duty to do things, you know. This is a true servant, a true servant. Do something out of love. Now, today we want to look at Bible characteristics found in servants. Characteristics that are found in servants. Number one, we see a servant is humble. A servant is humble. We see that he does not attract attention to himself. Many times a servant will do things behind the scene. Things to be done, and hey, you see something's been done. Who did that? Nobody knows. A servant, we see, first of all, is humble. He stays in the background and does his work. He doesn't do it to be seen, okay? He just does his job. His job gets done. And you say, hey, how did that get done? Well, only God did it, you know? And when we do things that way, what a blessing it is. Only a person who is truly humble before God can be gentle when opposition of others come. A person who is humble before God, only he can be humble when opposition from other people come. A servant. Things are not going to stir him. They're not going to move him. You know why? Because he's just relaxed in what he's doing. He does what he does because he loves to do it. And opposition is not going to hinder him. Opposition is not going to stop him. He's just going to keep on doing what he's doing. You know? I like people like that, don't you? Just anything don't stop them. They just keep going. Like the old mule, you know, just keeps on plowing, you know, all day long, you know. He may not rush. He may not get in a hurry, but he's getting the job done. Little by little, the field's getting plowed, you know. Little by little, as we serve the Lord, something's being done, hopefully, in our life, and we just keep on doing it. So first of all, a servant is humble. Secondly, a servant is diligent. Turn to Matthew chapter 25. He is diligent in what he does. Matthew 25, look at verse 45. When I say diligent, I mean he's industrious. He's showing effort. A servant is. He's trying to do something. You see it in his life. He's putting forth effort to do something. He's very industrious. Matthew 24, verse 45. The Bible says this. Who then is a faithful and wise servant? The question is asked. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so what? Doing. He's industrious. He's active in doing his work. He's not slothful. The wise servant. We see in verse 48 through 51, the wicked servant. Look at verse 48. The Bible says, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delivereth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and to drink with the drunken. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall he be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We see here the wise servant and also the wicked servant. So first of all, a servant is humble. A servant is diligent. He's diligent in what he does for the Lord. We also see that a servant is busy. He's busy serving. Turn to Luke chapter 17. He's busy in what he's doing. You know, you've heard the saying also all your life. I have too, and all your life, most of your life. If you got a job to do, who do you give it to? Somebody is what? Busy. Somebody's busy. If you got something you want to do, give it to somebody that's busy. Don't give it to somebody that ain't doing nothing, because they ain't going to do it. You give it to someone who's busy, and it'll get done. It'll get done. We also see a servant is busy serving. Luke 17, look at verse 7 and 8. Verse 7 and 8. Luke 17, verse 7 and 8. The Bible says, but which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he is come from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready, wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink. In other words, a servant is to be serving. He comes from the field plowing. Brother Sam, he comes in, and the person said, he said, keeps on serving, now serve me, now serve me. He wants to serve, he keeps on serving, keeps on serving, keeps on serving. That's his job, that's what he wants. Servants should serve and not do other things, not do other things. What a privilege it is to serve, a parable here of a servant here. What a servant really is someone that just serves. That's his task, that's his job, that's his calling, is just to be a servant. Now also we see a servant also is not only busy serving, but a servant should be able to teach. Able to teach. Turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse 24. A servant should be able to teach. Those that teach will leave verse number 24. 2 Timothy 2:24. The Bible says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, that means cause friction, but be gentle unto all men, apt to what? Teach and patient. A servant is not a strife person. You're not going to stir up things. You know, if a person is teaching, he don't have time to do that. He won't desire to do that. People that are not doing nothing, that's the people that cause the strife. People do nothing. We see here, a servant should be able to teach. He should be able to teach. We find that in Matthew chapter 12, verse 17 through 21. We won't go to read it today. Talking also about how people that are servants should be able to teach or how to teach. To teach others is to be servants. Servants. Now, we teach others not just standing in a class, okay? We teach others by our example. We teach others by witnessing. There's many ways to teach people rather than teaching a class. We're all teachers every day. We all are learners every day, too. We should be teachable every day, too. But a servant is able to teach. And also, we see in that same verse, a servant is patient. Patient. He's whatever he's dealing with. Whatever the circumstance may be, he does it in meekness, and he does it trying to instruct them. To instruct them. If evil comes in the midst of them, they try to be patient with this, understanding with this, and instructing them that they're doing wrong. That's a servant, you see. It's our responsibility. When we're in the midst of people and things are said or done wrong, as a Christian, to correct them, to show them, instruct them from the Word of God. Not what I have to say, but what God has to say about things, you know? So we find that a servant is patient with situations and circumstances in our life, a true servant. Oh, God, help us today with being a good servant. Help me to be a good servant. Now, we notice also in verse number 25, we just read that also, 2 Timothy 2, verse 25, the Bible says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. See, we're to just present the truth. When the truth is going out there, the truth will do its work. The truth does more than we could ever do. That is the Word of God. When we present the truth in meekness, you know, it's just something about people that are meek, people that are humble. People are going to respond more to those kind of people when they're presenting the truth. You know, I like that. And people were to be gentle. As servants, we're to be gentle, not rough, When those that oppose the truth, we're to instruct them. And how we're to instruct them in what? In meekness. In meekness, as lowliness. Concern, compassion, if you please. Present that to them, whatever that may be. So we see that our servant is apt to teach. He's patient. He's gentle. We also see that our servant is obedient. Obedient. He's obedient. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. Our servant is to obey. He's to obey. Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse 5. The Bible says, what's the first word? Servants. What's the next word? Be what? Obedient. Service, it says, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. How? With fear and what? Trembling. In singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Be obedient to your masters, those over you, according to the flesh. We're to do it with fear and trembling. Fear and trembling, realizing, hey, God has put these people over me, and I'm to obey them. See? As unto the Lord, as unto the Lord, and as unto Christ. Verse number 6 says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of who? Christ. Doing the will of God from what? From the heart. Obedience. We're to obey our masters. And we have to be obedient to them. We're to obey them. With fear and trembling in singleness of heart. Not with eye service, but with singleness of heart, but as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, doing the will of God. The will of God. The will of God is very important in our life. It really is. Even when it comes to serving our masters, we're to obey God. Not me, not man, but to obey God when he gives us that opportunity to put us in that situation. So we're to be obedient. The heart of the servant should be to help to do for the master. Try to please them and talk, and not to say, I'm not going to do it, but say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do what you ask me to do. Be obedient to God, to God. Our servant also is to be dedicated. Is to be dedicated to whatever is in his life. He does it with his total heart. His total heart. Nothing can move him from what he's doing because he's set out to do it. He's got his heart is in it, and that's what he's doing. We find that in 2 Samuel chapter 15. Our servant also is watchful. Turn to Matthew chapter 25. Our servant is to be watchful. What are we to be watchful for, Brother Keith? Look what it says in Matthew 25, as servants. A disciple demonstrates a servant's heart. A follower of the Lord demonstrates a servant's heart. And we see here in Matthew 25, we see that we are to be watchful. Watchful. Look at verse number 13. Matthew 25, verse number 13. The Bible says, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. I'm on the wrong chapter. You on chapter 25. Okay, here we go. Verse 13. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. What do we watch for? A servant is watchful. See, when we serve the Lord, we're serving him because we love him. First of all, he loved us. But we're serving him also because we're expecting him to come. Amen? We're expecting him to come. He could come today. He could come anytime. Therefore, we need to be watchful. And the fact that he's going to come, versus the uncertainty of that time, we don't know when. No man knows. But we know the Word of God tells us he is coming. And that's the most important thing, that he is coming. We don't know when, but we know he's coming. So we're to be watchful. We're to be alert. The needs of our master. We'll be dressed ready for service when he comes. Pastor says many times, wouldn't it be wonderful when we all be in church one Sunday morning and the Lord just comes, takes us all out of here. While we're here at church, you know, we have no greater time for the Lord to come than doing something for the Lord, serving the Lord. That's why we need to be constantly doing that. I know you have jobs. Most of you have jobs, some of you do. And even in your job, do your job as unto the Lord, because God gave you that job. Did he not? He gave you that job, so do that job even as unto the Lord, as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. So see, we need to be watchful. And then we need to be faithful. A servant is faithful. He's faithful. He's going to be there. He's going to be constantly doing what it is God's called him to do. He's going to be faithful. Faithful to the house of God. Faithful in prayer. Faithful in reading your Bible. Faithful in witnessing. Just be faithful in serving the Lord. That's very important in our life, to be faithful. Someone defined the word faith as you spell it out, F-A-I-T-H, forsaking all, I trust him. I think that's a good motto. Forsaking all, I trust him. That's faithfulness. I'm going to forsake everything else and trust God. I'm going to live for him, you see. To be faithful, in 1 Samuel 22, verse 14, the Bible talks about that. No matter what happens, remain faithful to Jesus Christ. Remain faithful to him because he's worthy. He's worthy of us as being servants of him. Also, a servant does not talk back to his master. You go to your job and you start talking back to your boss man, probably won't be long, you won't have a job, will you? Or you might be demoted or something. We need to be, when we're talking about being servants, we need to do it with love and patience and gentleness and all these things we've been talking about. A Christian disciple servant is spirit-filled. He's led by the Spirit of God. Now, I know that when you're saved, God's Holy Spirit comes and indwells us. He lives within us. But folks, listen, we're in the flesh, and we can get very unspiritual fast. You know? That's why we need to pray every day and ask God to fill us with His Spirit. Fill us with His Spirit, that we can be what He wants us to be, that servant He wants us to be. Because without Him indwelling us, Him infilling us, we can't be that servant. We can strive and do our best, but we won't be exactly what God wants us to be until we ask Him to fill us with His Spirit. We need His presence with us every day of our life, every day of our life. So we've been talking about today Bible characteristics of servants, Bible characteristics of servants. May the Lord help us as we look at this and ask God to help us to be what we ought to be. Now, we don't have time to read it, but the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, we see here what we should be like as Christian followers, Christ followers. We should be happy. The Beatitudes, you know. Blessed are they, blessed are they, blessed are they. Keep going on. All these things it says in this, and it talks about being happy. A standard of conduct for us as believers is to be these things we find in these Beatitudes. Blessed are those that mourn. Blessed are those that peacemakers. All these things he talks about. God's servants, God's servants, God's servants, God's servants. Listen, I should be different from somebody else in the world. You should be different from somebody else in the world, you know, as a Christian. This past week, I was in a store and I came out and I saw this mother. She had a small baby. Small child, and she'd got the baby out of the stroller. She had the stroller, and she got the baby out of the stroller. Now she's back in the back of the car, back of the car, trying to put the stroller in the car. And I probably far from me that back door far when I saw her doing it, putting the stroller in the car. Well, the Lord said, you know, you need to help that lady get that stroller in that car. She's struggling with that thing. And I said, yeah, I do. I really need to help her, you know. And you know, by the time I got within 10 feet of her, she had it in there. I mean, she was very fast. It wasn't the first time she'd done it. It's obvious. But you know, I mean, how sometimes God speaks to us in a way to help us to try to say, hey, maybe you can help that person do something. You know, there's a need here. You see a need. This lady's trying to get a stroller in that car, and she was fighting with it. I don't know why. She didn't fold it down or nothing. She just put the whole thing in there. But anyway, that's the way she does it. But she got it in there before I got there, you see. Look for opportunities, folks. God help me look for opportunities to be a servant this week. To be a servant. You know Marty. Marty is a servant here at the church, isn't he? What does he do? He brings word to the preacher. That's a servant. That's not all Marty does. Okay? But he counts that a privilege. In fact, Brother Suggs asked me last Sunday night. He said, Marty says, tell you that the water's running out in the refrigerator back here for the preacher. I said, okay. You know, He's a faithful servant. You know, he does it with all his heart. He does what he can. And that's what God wants us to do, folks, to serve him. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, that we have the opportunity to serve you. And God, is, we just, Lord, we know that you love us. And God, we ought to love you more than we do. And God, I pray you'd help us, Lord, with this thing of being a servant. May our lives demonstrate it, Lord, by what we do, that we love the Lord. And God, we thank you for the opportunity today to be in your house. Bless your people. Strengthen us, encourage us, Lord, as we go through this day. And give us a chance to talk to people about you. Bless down the service we're about to go into. Have your will and way. Lord, may the word of God speak to hearts, save that one that's lost, and glorify yourself. In Jesus' name, amen.